I had a very positive attitude tonight that we were going to have 95. But anyway, I'll keep holding on to that because during the week, our goal is 90 every night. And I know that we can do that with everyone's participation. And we hope that you'll be present if you can at all possible. We have some great lessons lined up for our series of studies. And I know that you'll be encouraged for having been here. I had a neighbor move in not too long ago, and the lady that was there before this couple moved in found out as she began trying to sell her house that the foundation was falling away. In other words, it was going down for some reason. And so she had some foundation people come in and give her an estimate to have the flooring and the foundation fixed, and they gave her an estimate of $24,000. To make a long story short, the new couple moves in, and they had the work done, cost them around $24,000 plus. And they found out after having it done that it really didn't need it. And so, needless to say, the buyer was really upset that that was a part of the agreement when they purchased the house, that that would be a part of the sale price. And so they had the work done, and it really wasn't needed. So much so for contractors sometimes giving us estimates, and we are unsure about our foundations. And so that got me to thinking. The neighbor said, do you park your car in the garage? And I said, yes. He said, you better check your foundation. I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let it go. I don't need any estimates. I don't have any cracks or anything, so I feel that mine's pretty solid. As a matter of fact, Todd inspected it, so it ought to be good, right? I mean, if he assessed it several years ago. Yeah, now he's trying to get out of it. But anyway, as I got to thinking about that, my son came for a visit, and we decided to do some decorating in our yard and build a flower bed with paving stones. And I went out, and I started, and he said, Dad, just leave me alone. I'll start it, and then we can finish the rest. What he was saying was, leave me alone, I can do it better than you. But anyway, he started and then needed some help, you know. But anyway, we got it all done. And telling you all those stories for this reason, that is that we need a solid foundation upon which to build. And I remember a time in Chillicothe when a house was built, had the siding on, the roof on, and the inspectors came around and said to the new owner of the house, you cannot complete the building project. And they said, why not? They said, the foundation is faulty. So I've had those things brought to mind several times in my life, and I thought during the week that would make for the basis of our study tonight, because in the text that was read a while ago, no other foundation can be laid than that which is already laid, and that's Christ. And we build on that foundation. And that foundation is solid, it is secure, and we know that we can build on that and have things that will benefit us in life. And yet at the same time, Paul announces that there are different things that people can do. For instance, some may water, some may plant the seed, and some may cultivate the soil. He doesn't mention that, but that's a part of the process. But then it says that God is the one who gives the increase. And every man's work is tested. And when I think about the Christian life, I came to this passage that I know you're familiar with. There are several passages that mention this. But it has the concept of becoming weary in well-doing. We need to focus, I think, in our Christian walk, not upon the negative things, as I mentioned this morning, but upon the positive, because there are so many things that distract us from doing what is right. And what happens is often we become weary in doing good things. And so Paul says, do not be weary in doing good or in well doing. The Christian life has within it many disappointments at times. And I've mentioned this before, and you're aware of it, there are many sorrows that we have to deal with as well. And so how we deal with all of that, realizing that God is the one who gives the increase, there are some lessons that I hope will even encourage us tonight. And it has to do with relationships and our thinking about doing good things and not becoming weary. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I run out of energy. I get tired and exhausted. Now, I know none of you do that. Some of you said tonight, and I'm not going to mention any names, that when you came in, it was time to sleep as soon as I got up. And I said that you weren't going to sleep because I was going to holler a lot louder in places, or at least pound the pulpit. So if I start doing that, you'll know somebody's sleeping. Now, if you yawn, that's all right. Just don't go to sleep. It's kind of like the fellow one time, he was preaching, and he saw a fellow in the back of the auditorium that had gone to sleep, and he even started snoring. And the preacher said, go back here and wake that fellow up back there in the back. And somebody else said, you go back and wake him up. You put him to sleep. So maybe that'll work. Weary and well-doing. For the most part, unfaithful Christians have not left the Lord because of some earth-shattering experience. Time often takes its toll. In regard to the negative influences of a person's life, in my life, I have seen elders become unfaithful to the church, leave the church entirely. I have seen deacons that I was very close to, whom I thought were very, very faithful. Faithful in many respects, taught Bible classes, encouraged others, who no longer were a part of the church. In recent years, I have known of preachers of the gospel who have completely left the church. And again, it's not because of some earth-shattering experience. There's something wrong with their faith. Something terribly wrong with their faith. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he discusses in this section of Scripture that there is a foundation upon which we can build. And most of us, if we study our Bibles long and hard enough, we know that the very basis is Christ as the foundation. But it also has to do with our faith, does it not? And so upon that faith, we build upon the foundation, Christ, but faith is a part of that. And at times we are disappointed in folk. We are disappointed in things that happen. And so we become weary and maybe even think about just quitting because it seems as though the good is not outweighing the bad. And so then individuals give up and they become unfaithful. Galatians chapter 6, if you will, and this text you are acquainted with, I know. Starting in verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And then in verse 9, he says, and let us not grow weary while... And I think this is a fascinating part of this verse in the New King James. While, don't become weary in doing good things, or don't become weary while doing good. While you're doing good. And then he says this, "For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." I've had many gospel preachers and elders in my life who have said to me, "Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up." Because the reward that we're going to receive so much outweighs anything that can transpire in this life. I don't want to forfeit heaven. I don't want to lose that. And I don't think you do either. And we're not going to let some experience in life destroy the faith that we need to maintain and the doing of good things. I'm sure you would agree that when we do good things, you feel a lot better, don't you? You know, when you can do something for someone, it makes you feel better. But the devil comes along and he tries to destroy whatever it is that we're trying to do. And so, ironic as it may appear, Satan does some of his most devastating work among members of the church. And some that at times we may feel are the strongest of individuals. So we need to be careful. He is deceitful, he is plotting, he is conniving. And as a result of that, he tries to attack our very weakest points. And all of us probably tonight can think about our own lives and think about our weakest points, wherein we are the most vulnerable. Well, that's where the devil is going to attack. He's going to attack us at our weakest point. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 3. Because the writer here gives us some pointers. Hebrews chapter 3, starting, if you will, in verse 12. Here's what he says. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Now, maybe that's where all of this begins. Maybe we really don't believe in the first place. I don't know. Or maybe individuals are not really convinced of God's power working through us. I don't know. But for some reason, there is that evil heart of unbelief. And then he says, "in departing from the living God." I wonder about this a lot. Why is it that individuals will depart from God? Why do they do that? Do you have an answer? I know the devil's at work, but there's something wrong with the heart. And we can talk about all the excuses in the world that we want, but it still does not excuse us. And then he says, "but exhort one another daily." That word exhort, I've had in classes before. It has the idea not just encouraging, but also instructing. You know, all of us need to be exhorted. We need to be encouraged. We need to be instructed, right? I don't think there's anyone here tonight who would say we know all there is to know about the Bible and we're living a perfect life, because we're not. And we don't know all there is to know about the Bible. And so we need to exhort one another on a daily basis, encourage and instruct one another. Then he says, "for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." I often try to encourage people with this thought. Go back and retrace, and you can do this very, very quickly, I think. Go back and retrace your life to the point when you became a Christian. And think about all that was involved in your becoming a Christian. And then as we think about life now, why is it that we don't have the joy that we had then? Maybe. You may. And I may. But some don't. So as we retrace our steps back to the beginning of our salvation, what was it that drew our attention to the foundation that was laid and we wanted to build on it? And then as we began our Christian walk, what was it at the beginning and through these years that have helped us, encouraged us, strengthened us, to be more like the Savior, and also to be faithful? Well, let's look at some things that may cause us to become weary. Number one, a reliance upon carnal or fleshly energy. A common shortcoming of many is that we depend upon our carnal energy more than our spiritual strength. And that spiritual renewal, that spiritual strength, comes from God. And I don't know about you, I'm sure that most of you feel the same way I do, that I cannot get through life without complete dependence upon God for my spiritual energy and spiritual determination. Too many Christians fail, I think, to hold on to that spiritual energy that is so vital. And if I were to ask you tonight, one of the sources of our spiritual energy, our spiritual strength, what would you say that it would be? At the top of my list, I put prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. You know, you can pray anywhere, can't you? But how often do we take advantage of the avenue of prayer? God is our Father, and we ought to be able to talk to Him, converse with Him. What a marvelous privilege it is to be able to pray to our Heavenly Father about anything. And so that's one of the means wherein we can get our spiritual strength and our spiritual energy. And then the second one that I put on the list, and depending on your priority of things, this may be number one, but learning all that we can from the Bible will strengthen us. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, when he announces that we present our bodies, remember, as a living sacrifice, remember that? And then he says we are renewed. We're not allowing the world to tell us what to do or dictate to us what to do, but rather our minds are renewed. We are strengthened. We are renewed day by day. Well, in recent weeks, I have ordered some books from some friends of mine that are devotional books. And one of them in particular goes through certain sections of the Bible, and so I can sit down and it's called 5 Minutes with God, the one I have. And so I can look at the verse, I can look at the passage, and then notice what the author says about this particular text that will strengthen me during the day. Now, I know I don't need man to do that, but it allows me the opportunity early in the day to have 5 minutes, and that's not enough, 5 minutes of devotional time looking at the Scriptures. And I know we all probably spend more time than that, but that's just a start. But it renews our spiritual strength, and it helps us as we listen to God through the Bible. We are renewed day by day. And then the inner man, as is true in that text, is renewed. My soul is renewed by studying the Word of God and meditating upon it during the day. So then I'm not relying upon my carnal energy or my fleshly energy, but I'm relying upon the spiritual strength that comes from God. Carnal or fleshly energy, is limited. When I was working with my son, I got tired quicker than he did. I don't know about some of you, whether you get tired real quick or not, but you know, if you are 20 years old, you're probably going to have, you know, if you're in good health, going to have a little more energy at the end of the day than someone, I've got to watch this, 69 years old, or 70 or 80. Some of you can attest to that because you've told me you just can't do what you once did. You don't have the energy to do what you once did. The reason is we're getting older. But the Bible reminds us that regardless of this lack of fleshly energy, physical energy, because it's limited in what it can do, my inward man can be renewed day by day. So we have that spiritual stamina to get us through whatever comes our way. But if we rely on carnal energy, we're in trouble, aren't we? If that's all we rely on, we're in trouble. And so Paul says, make sure that we're building on a solid foundation, and that's Christ. Secondly, sometimes we think that satisfaction can only come with visible results. Now, I don't want anybody taking this the wrong way. Numbers in attendance are important. Everybody would agree, right? Having numbers here is important, but not just for the sake of numbers. There's something behind that. And so when we think about measuring success, there are a lot of folk who measure success by the number in attendance, right? In other words, if you have 150 or you have 200, they say, man, you're really successful. But numbers don't, now don't get me wrong, because our goal this week is 90. It should be 150, but we're starting with 90. And those numbers are important because each one of those represents a soul. Young or old, it represents a soul. But if that is our determining factor for success, we've missed the boat. We've missed it. Because what we're concerned about is looking at the individual as a soul. Now, sometimes it is true, and I don't know why this is, that when you have more in attendance, the contribution decreases. And when you have less, sometimes it's more. I've never figured that out. But someone will say, see, success is when we're able to reach our budget. Now, by the way, budgets are important because that means we have things that we need to do, and money is important. God wants us to contribute our money to the work of the church, right? All of us would agree with that. But it has to do with the heart. Success is measured by the heart. God loves a cheerful giver. That's not just money. That's other things too. But God loves a cheerful giver. And when we think of that, every door that is knocked or every person that we might talk to, maybe it is the case that we feel that we've not succeeded because that person does not become a member of the church. So we become weary in well-doing. We say, what's the use? Nobody will listen. So what is the measure of success? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we had read in your hand, I want to notice just a few more verses. Notice what he says in the text. Who then is Paul? We might ask that question. Who then is Rex? He read the text a while ago. Put ourselves in that place. Who is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe? We are instruments, are we not? Instruments for good. Don't become weary in that. We are ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I had a Brother Midden McKnight always reminded me when I used to work with him. He used to say, Eddie, always remember, you may plant the seed, you may water, but it is always God who gives the increase. That's true, isn't it? That's Bible. So don't worry about our giving the increase. It's not us. We're not the ones who give the increase. God is the one who gives the increase. We are instruments. We are ministers to help individuals to believe. We may plant the seed, which is the word of God, in the hearts of people. Somebody else may come along and maybe encourage and strengthen and teach some more, but it is always God who gives the increase. And then notice what else he says. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, We're all working, are we not? I think Paul indicates this in the Corinthian letter, the importance of unity. Everybody working together, and then he says we are fellow workers with God, right? All working for the same thing, that is to reach those who are lost and dying. Now, the Christian needs to realize that we don't always reach those peak moments. That is, we're way up here on the mountain. Sometimes in our experiences in teaching people, people will not be receptive, right? And so we continue to do what is right and good in spite of the fact that we don't see somebody obeying the gospel. But we continue to teach and preach and live a life of example before others. And then also, maybe it is the case that we're looking for compliments. Maybe we are trying to please men. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying this is one of the reasons why we become weary. In my lifetime, and I need to be very careful how I say this, but, you know, there are some folk who always want to be patted on the back for something they do. And that's kind of what keeps them going. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to pat each other on the back. We need to encourage one another. You know, I've been here long enough to know that I know that. And we try to encourage. But if that's all we're out to get, compliments of men, the praise of men, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Listen to what he says. John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But notice, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Then it says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Do we feel that's important? The praise of God? I hope you do. Because if we're striving for the compliments of men, that's all we're going to get. Individuals who become unfaithful may oftentimes criticize. I mentioned this morning. It's very easy to stand on the outside and look in and be a spectator and begin criticizing and complaining rather than getting involved and doing the things that we need to do with a very positive outlook and a positive attitude. And when we give interest to what is expected of us of God, why is it? Just a thought. Why is it that people become disinterested in study? Why is it that individuals have a very critical, and I'm not saying you do, I'm just saying why is it that individuals who become unfaithful or even leave the church have a very critical view of the church? Why is that? Something happens with the mindset. Something happens with the heart. We don't have any control over that, but we can do what we can to encourage. And I would always admonish people, don't ever give up. In spite of criticisms, in spite of heartaches, in spite of disappointments, in spite of what somebody else may do, remember what the Lord's done for you. Let's get our focus in the proper place. Let me now, by way of concluding our lesson tonight, give three positive steps of action. Positive steps of action. Number one, recognize that the church is made up of imperfect human beings who are at every possible level of spiritual development and growth. We're not all at the same level, right? Sure. Some of you have been in the church long, long time. Many, 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 many years. And so it might be because of that you are spiritually up here. But don't expect someone who's a new babe in Christ to be up here, right? And remember that we are imperfect. I don't know of any perfect Christians. I don't know of any perfect congregations. Do you? We kind of expect that. But it doesn't work that way because we are imperfect. But that doesn't excuse us. And then something else that we need to remember is don't compare ourselves with ourselves. We are not the standard. Christ is. And the church at Corinth, those in the Corinthian church, did that. They began comparing, measuring, the King James, I think, says, measuring themselves by themselves, and it got them into trouble. All kinds of problems in the church at Corinth. One of the reasons was they began comparing themselves with themselves. Wrong standard, right? And so the positive step is to realize that Christ is our example. There is no other foundation than can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And when we build on that, we're going to be successful in many areas of growth. And then finally, weariness, and this has to do with attitude again. Weariness can be overcome when we develop, I want you to really think about this, a total attitude that depicts well-being. I am thankful for my God. I am thankful for Jesus who gave his life for me. I'm thankful that I'm a Christian. I'm thankful that in my life I've been able to do a lot of things for the cause of Christ. And so have you. And because of that, that helps me to develop a positive attitude toward well-being, toward not becoming weary in doing good things. There's so many things that we can do on a personal level in our lives so that we can grow and develop and be the kind of people that God wants us to be. I hope that you really give some thought to what I've said tonight. Number one, realize that we are imperfect human beings and that as we go through life, we all need to grow and we need to grow together as fellow laborers with God in the text. Build on the foundation. Use Christ as our example, and then the third thing, develop this total attitude that depicts well-being. I'm not talking about making a show. I mean by that we have developed a course of action in our lives when we are doing good things and we feel good about ourselves because of who God is and because he's a part of our lives. Then we can have well-being. Tonight, if you're not yet a child of God, we would encourage you to become a Christian, one who belongs to Christ. Believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, turning from sin, acknowledging your faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son, and allowing us to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. No greater joy can one have than to know that he's in a saved relationship. Not only that, in a saved relationship, but also that heaven will be his or her eternal home. And we don't want to become weary in doing good. Don't give up. Going to be faithful all the days of our life. As we have arisen from the watery grave of baptism, be faithful all the days of our life. We have, in a very real way, committed our lives to him when we became Christians, did we not? We've decided that we're going to be faithful to him all the days of our life. And it might be that you've not done that. And if so, then we need to repent of that. Acknowledge it to our Father and pray to him that he forgive us. And he's promised that he will. Tonight, we're going to sing the song that's been announced as a way of encouraging you to come and make your desires known. And as we stand in